Hey all, welcome to Taking It Down with the podcast from the Alabama Take that devotes itself to the talking and discussion of pop culture stuff, mostly TV and movies. Today we're talking about the fourth episode of the HBO thriller and mystery, Mayor of Easttown. And after the break, we're going to discuss the latest movie from Netflix, The Woman in the Window, starring Amy Adams. It's a special day, the fact that in the stead of Adam Morrow, we have his well-known and excellent replacement for co-host, the one, the only, Natalie Morrow. She's been with us before. She's no stranger to the podcast, so we'll say hello to her. And as often is the case, Donovan Reinwald's back with us. He's the other co-host seat. How's it going, you two? Chime in as needed.
Just feel like I need to say congratulations to all of you for being able to listen to me today instead of Adam. You're welcome.
It's a very soothing voice in comparison.
He's getting spread around, isn't he? He's on this podcast. He's on, you know, he's overexposed.
He's in Mobile, Alabama right now. That's right. Adam is doing some shows with his band Speckled Bird. Check them out. And that's where he is. He's on the road making music. As for us, we're here with you. Do we have a check-in on COVID?
I was going to say, the second that second shot went all the way through on Adam, he just couldn't wait to get the fuck out of here, huh?
Man, he blew the doors open, didn't he? Left his wife.
Oh, okay, I get it. We're your friends when you're unvaccinated.
That's pretty good.
You should try being his wife.
Yeah. You're only that when he's unvaccinated.
But CDC did say we can drop masks and go do things.
Yeah, I misinterpreted that.
In what way?
I'm in a lot of trouble.
We went to a show, and Adam didn't even bring his mask.
Whoa.
And I was very, kind of disappointed in him, maybe, or impressed, I don't know, but it felt wrong.
Is this where we drop in the audio of him saying, I'm going to wear a mask even after I'm vaccinated?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Only, I think he claims that's only for air travel. Travel is going to be the masked up situation.
And that does seem a good idea. Yeah, so we're all vaccinated. Have you, and Natalie already answered my question. She's been to a show. Was it outdoors, though?
Yeah. We went and saw the Pollies and the Pine Hill Haints played at a auditorium. No, amphitheater. That's what we call those outdoor things.
Oh, man.
But they were just like children running around, enjoying the nice spring air. Nobody was wearing masks. It was, well, granted, they probably wouldn't have been anyways, but still, you know, we weren't, and it was lovely.
You didn't have to feel bad about it this time.
Right.
I don't want to one-up Natalie here, but I went to Arab Alabama's Poke Salad Festival yesterday. Speaking of music and open air.
Did you say Poke Salad?
Yes, sir.
Is that a Pokemon?
Wouldn't that be great if it was? They had a celebration. Just no, they've done this for.
It'd be the poke salad.
Yeah, it's poke salad.
It's Poke Salad Festival. From what I understand, they've done it for like 50 years or something. I don't know. It's been going 30 years or something, and they just have you know, your food trucks and your and little live music, and you know, Arab high school band will come and play, just stuff like that, like you would imagine a small town life consists of. Mayor of Easttown does in the spring and summer.
How much poke salad did you eat?
The rumor is they're serving less and less and less each year, so I didn't see anybody eating it, and I would not.
I'm really sad that so this has been going on 50 years. Like, I'm really sad Arab, Alabama's not like, we're having a celebration of life for Pikachu. This wouldn't have wanted us to cry. Wear happy colors.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and out everybody online. And there's a Facebook group called Arab Awareness. You have to join. You have to be, you have to get an invitation to, even, I think. It's one of those. Okay. And it is nothing but a bunch of backbiting and conspiracy theorists. And I'm talking small town stuff, not big, not QAnon. Like, so, you know.
This is like, we all know what really happened to the mayor's dog.
Exactly. Yeah. It's that. It's exactly that. So they're on there bitching because people were thinking about canceling the Poke Salad Festival because it just isn't generating the kind of revenue that they want. And then there are people just, oh, they're angry. Oh, they're angry over this. So anyway, if you change it to a Pokemon thing, oh, I can't imagine.
I think that would melt Facebook.
you'd get some knocks on your door.
The Arab quarter of Facebook.
Exactly. let's get into the show a little bit, which is going to be interesting in our first segment, because we're going to talk Mayor of Easttown episode 4 that was titled Poor Sisyphus. And the reason why it's a little bit more interesting than usual is I don't think Natalie's watched the show, and we're still going to get her to chime in. Bless her heart, she's getting thrown into the fire. And I'm really involved in the show, more so than an adult probably should be in with anything. But Donovan, where are you with episode 4, sort of general, and then we're going to spoil the heck out of episode 4.
I thought that this episode, some payoffs that maybe I didn't realize were payoffs, paid off.
Oh, okay. I can't wait to get into that.
And I find myself like almost uninterested in the mystery, because I like they're doing such a good job with like what's Mayor gonna do. Is like I'm interested in as much as is Mayor gonna solve this? Mm-hmm. But like that is a compliment, not a knock. I think they're doing a good job of keeping me interested in things. I want to stick around for those scenes, you know, maybe more than just like, okay, tell me the next clue.
That's very much what I would agree with. In fact, the more I watch the show, the more I believe it's executed at such a high level. And it's a perfect segue from our small town talk, because they get all those things right, as far as I'm concerned. It's also a show that seems to, and I'm real proud of shows that do this, that they have things to say. This is, of course, a mystery. It's a thriller. It's perfect. As far as I'm concerned, it's perfect so far. They may drop the ball in the last two episodes, but I think it's making a comment beyond thriller / mystery or depressed detective TV show. And you seem to be clued in on that, or you just like the execution?
I think that I agree with you on that. Like, the execution is great, but I don't think it's just, yeah, like, here's Kate Winslet being all gruff and saying home weird. Like... But, like, actually, it's about, I mean, you know, there's a couple things right on the nose, right? Like, it's about grief. It's about never leaving the place you grew up in and what that means for your relationships. It's about, you know, I'm trying to, those are two big things that pop out at me. You know, it's not a message show, but it's got something to say, which is
exactly.
Pretty good.
That's the kind of show I really dig into. Not necessarily a message show, but still ends up having a lot to say using the structure that the toy box it plays in, I guess you could say.
And I will say too, I think this episode, the directing and editing really stood out for me by not standing out, not being flashy, but just by like, there was some stuff that I just thought like, that is a cool shot. And I almost didn't notice it because I'm invested in what's going on. And there was a big jump cut that I thought worked very, very well in this episode.
All right. Well, we're going to draw a spoiler line because I want you to tell me what that was. So if you haven't seen episode 4, and we're a week behind, so that kind of works out for viewers who may be a week behind as well. So spoiler, have at it, Donovan.
Okay. The jump cut to when Mayor's in her bedroom and the door slams and it's a fight with her son. And that felt like weeks that had been, I hadn't even realized that this was being set up, but it had been, because it totally changes the way you think about her son, the way she's relating to her grandson's mother. And it's really kind of like, it was scary and upsetting too. Like Kate Winslet did a great job. Yeah, it was, she did great. Like, but it was totally different side of her character we've not seen before.
A lot of people were chatting about that scene online about how it's the Emmy reel, you know, for her.
Yeah. It was great.
It reminded me a lot of the end of the first episode where she looks up and sees Kevin sitting there, and I didn't expect it so much that it really felt like a horror scene to me.
When it happened, that's what I thought, and I thought of you saying that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of had that same feeling of interruption or intrusion like you might get in a horror film. Also, how great is Jean Smart, huh?
Dude. I'd watch a show about just her, whatever she's doing during the day, which is probably a lot of iPad.
On that damn tablet.
Before I forget, I've got a short list. You were talking some good stuff about what the show is saying, even though it's not a message show. To me, it's thematically talking about taking care of yourself, families in poverty. I feel like it's as good a show about families in poverty or that low middle class that gets overlooked. To me, it's saying as good as any show can. And the familiar structure and how the familiar structure plays a role in taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
So Natalie has not watched. She's might be wishing we'd shut up or move on. But how did you get left behind on this one? You and Adam usually are very good about scheduling television together, if I'm not mistaken. You can correct me.
Yeah, no, I think this was oh shit, I have to watch this before the podcast today, whatever Sunday it was. And I was like, well, I have to get groceries, so I guess we'll eat this week. So we just started watching it without me. But I did take some notes because I did watch this episode. So I've got my list of like six
really?
Notes.
This is good. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So what was that like just to watch the fourth episode without watching the first three?
Well, first of all, I thought it was Mayor of Easttown.
You're not alone. You are not alone.
So pretty confused about the role here. But I mean, maybe it's just because I don't know what's going on, but there seemed to be like a lot going on in the periphery, but not a lot happened in this episode. But maybe I'm wrong just because I don't know anything. But I could go down my list if you want me to.
I think that's a great idea.
The last time we had a list was pretty good.
All right.
That was good stuff. Yeah.
All right. So the first one, of course, was Mayor versus Mayor. That was confusing.
And so you're thinking it should be Detective of Easttown, shouldn't it?
Right. What is this? And I was really disappointed that there wasn't a previously on segment before the episode started. Really was depending on that. Never got it.
There was
loved. No. I needed it. Really?
Yeah.
You must have watched on streaming. Did you watch on HBO Max or something?
Yeah.
I think sometimes they do that on HBO Max. You don't get your...
That's very odd.
Well... That's stupid. Next note was that I love Jean Smart. She can do no wrong, but then I was afraid she was going to put chocolate sauce on her frozen vegetables, and then I would have to retract that statement. Thankfully, it was ice cream. Nobody tell my dad about that trick, because that was brilliant.
Talk about this, like the scariest scene in that show.
Ralph Boner, whose real name is Evan Peters. I kept looking at him with his hair slicked back. It's like, this is just the Walgreens version of Topher Grace. The writer guy is the guy that you would hire when you need to like cast the biopic for the ShamWow guy. That was my note on him. And why do people, I don't know who it was. The whole thing, this happens in a lot of shows when you're going into a building, you're looking for this like person you're missing, your loved one, but you go in and you're just like quiet and sneaky. Like, why aren't you shouting their name? Why is this like I gotta be sneaky to find my kid who's locked in some closet somewhere or the basement. Like, yell out their name. Be excited to go find your kid. I don't know. End of
fair.
List.
That's a good list.
Here's this reminds me, and it's something I never said on the air, and Kelly, my wife, has brought it up. How has Guy Pearce and Brad Pitt not played brothers in some movie?
That's a good question.
How? What producer or director do we have to call?
Well...
She thought it was Brad Pitt in the first episode.
We haven't seen the end of this show yet.
Brad Pitt's going to show up and go, hey, I killed everyone, and that's my brother.
Well, spoiler, Blaine.
Oh.
Maybe he didn't kill everyone. Maybe Brad Pitt only killed a few people.
That's a good point. You know, these are all archetypes, but they're archetypes I see in my world. And so Gene Smart hiding the ice cream and the vegetables... I'm pretty sure I've done that. As a younger man, and I was doing it to hide my ice cream from my roommate. And so it's a little different scenario.
Something about her always being on that tablet is just so great.
Dude, is that not hilarious and just perfect?
It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
The lady, I think her name is Dawn. She is the lady who went looking for her child and didn't scream out like Natalie was talking about. I guess I'm repeating myself, but there's just something to be said about characters who are like her, and they have this huge problem. Like, she has cancer and a missing child, but she's working this dead-end job, and we've got you know, brothers who've committed suicide. And I know everything in life isn't doom or gloom, but to me, a lot of life is, in a way. A lot of this is life. So, but yeah, Dawn going to make that money drop. Why don't people yell, hey, Katie, are you in here? Is there a fear that if they really are there, that the killer will jump out and get them or something?
It's real dumb. Nobody wants to survive in these shows.
So that's that. To me, that was actual horror. Dawn going to make that money drop. We talked about the flashback that mayor of Easttown, detective of Easttown had.
I think it's the mayor of Easttown.
She might as well be. Oh, she got called by her full name. Speaking of Jean Smart.
Now we know it's what? Mary something?
Mary Ann, right?
Mary Ann, that's what it is.
So that makes more sense.
Yeah, I was like, what an odd name after a horse.
We're jumping around a little bit. Jean Smart's reaction to Mayor being, suspended from the force? Her reaction of surprise to worry to anger in like 30 seconds was worth...
If that. I thought the kicker for that was, what the hell am I going to do with you around here all day?
It's like they hate each other, but they also don't hate each other. Yeah,
that's great.
So Deacon Mark is likely DJ's father, right? That's what's happening with his shadiness.
Seems that way.
I think so.
But I don't know. I was kind of hoping that Dylan would smother DJ in this episode because I like.
Dear God.
I really don't want to like Dylan. I don't like him. So I'm like, oh, he's finally doing it. Now I can just, but he went and like held the stupid baby. What? That's
minus the shooting and the murder. That's a plot line I've actually heard about in some distant relatives of mine. Well, no, I've got a relative who thought he was the father of a child, and then like 3 years later he wasn't, but he had already grown attachment to the kid. It's kind of sad. Anyway, sorry to bring everyone down.
Well, geez, Blaine.
Natalie, I think you and I kind of land on the same side of the fence when it comes to Evan Peters. We find him a little annoying. Am I right?
You are okay. Right.
So I know you only watched the fourth episode, but does he win you over as Colin the detective? Do you see him being a better actor now?
Yeah, and I think it's just helpful that he, just visually, he looks so different from any other role he's done. That is like a major help. And he needs that because otherwise he's just like the Ryan Murphy puppet. And it's too much.
He's somewhat restrained in this one.
Oh, well, I was going to say that he's actually being directed well or combining his actual talents. He's kept hid because he's not overplaying it and not making goofball faces.
Yeah.
I really like his character. So
I have been very much enjoying him as well. He's hitting this great, like he's obviously like a smart detective, but also he's kind of like a goofy innocent in some ways.
Still young. Yeah.
Yeah. Whom?
Yeah. Which brings me to this question. Whom do you want Mayor to end up with? Richard the author or Colin the young detective? Richard the older author or Colin the younger detective? There you go. I know you both can answer, obviously, but... It's just a stupid question, but it's one I guarantee you is happening online.
You know, I think it would be cool if Mare ended up with herself. Because of feminism, Blaine.
I know. I knew that.
Sexually?
Yeah, sure.
I don't care. Whatever Mare wants.
Why does she have to end up with anyone? I knew you were going to say that.
She's going to end up with Jean Smart.
She's going to end up with her mom and hating everyone.
Well, like stuck at home. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
She's going to be stuck with her mom.
Yeah. The best part is that like she's able to see her ex-husband having a way better life, just like one lawn over.
He's just like, hey, Mayor.
Yeah. I might move if I were him.
Well, it's going to get a lot more awkward if Drew gets taken away because they're kind of were living next to each other so they could take care of Drew together, which was sweet. That's a sweet endeavor, but if Drew goes to live with his real mom, then it's going to be...
Also, dang, does every kid on this show have a kid? We find out that Katie, Dawn's daughter, has a child now introduced for the first time.
Donovan, have you ever been to Selegant?
You know, I was trying to do the math here and be like...
This is reality, my brother.
How many years of abstinence-only education have they been steeping in?
if they would set this mare of Soligent,
then it would have been about a horse, right?
Well, I was going to say it could be about just about the same plot. I don't think you're going to have that much murder in Soligent, but you never know.
I don't know. Horses get pretty mad.
That's true.
They're kicking.
Oh, this has been fun. Let's take a break, and then we'll jump on the other side and dissect The Woman in the Window from Netflix. So we'll take a break. All right, as always, we thank you for tuning in. Over at the site, thealabamatake.com, we have musings on a few things here and there. Pop culture related, usually. Politics, every now and again. One of our regular features, though, that's happening is on Saturday. We have coverage of the Challenge All-Stars. That's been running at a breakneck speed on Paramount Plus streaming. But we cover it each Saturday to give everybody a chance to catch up on the show and then read. Also, and this has been really one of my favorite things of late, I have hosted a YouTube series. It's a first for our website. It's called Short Takes, where I interview a different guest every week and ask them 4 questions. I've really enjoyed doing that. You can find that on our YouTube channel. You can subscribe there, or you can just tune in to the website every Friday morning when those are released. So join us. Don't miss out. This Song Sucks will do their wrap-up episodes in a few weeks. Be on the lookout for those. We'll get back into Taking It Down this week, though. Okay, we're back from the break. We're going to spend some time talking about the new Netflix movie, The Woman in the Window. That was released on streaming the most recent Friday, if you're listening to us on release day, Tuesday. It was released Friday, May 14th. It, too, is a psychological thriller that stars Amy Adams as an agoraphobic lady in New York residence, and also features Gary Oldman, Anthony Mackie, Wyatt Russell, and Brian Tyree Henry. It was directed by Joe Wright. And this movie's basically, if you don't want to know spoiler stuff, we won't spoil it for a second. If you just want to know what we think, we will do a roundtable and just say watch it or don't kind of thing. But it's basically about a lady in New York, Brownstone, who thinks she's privy to some suspicious activity across the street. She's seeing it outside of her window. And it was supposed to be a theatrical release in October of 2019. That got delayed to May 2020. And then, of course, COVID caused it to really get delayed. And here we are, May of this year, watching it on Netflix. It got scooped up by Netflix. They bought it. That's usually not a good sign. And we might end up talking about that in more spoilery stuff later, but I'm going to toss it to Natalie just to say, do you recommend this movie or not? Then Donovan, then I'll say something similar, and then we'll draw the line, and if you don't feel like watching it, you can continue to listen. And that's what we'll do. So Natalie, what'd you think?
I think that people should watch this movie. I think that I was nervous going in because I don't like scary movies or anything like horror, whatever, which I know this is a psychological thriller, so that's something different, but I actually really enjoyed it. So I don't come at it as like a fan of this genre necessarily, but I thought this was fantastic.
Wow. Okay. And you'll hear why I say wow. Donovan, what'd you think?
What's the opposite of that?
That you don't recommend anyone watch it.
Don't waste your time, people.
Oh my goodness. And I hate to do this because I don't. Okay, yeah, I'm the same, Donovan.
You guys are wrong.
Whew, I didn't think it was a very good movie.
Several reviews that I've seen have been like they reshot the ending, or because of a really bad test audiences, and I'm like, I kind of want to see that.
I do too.
Like, I want to see the bad version of this. Like, if this is the good version, just give me your worst.
Yeah. So for listeners, if you don't want to be spoiled, or if you want to just come back after you've watched, we are going to get into why we liked it and why we didn't. We've got 2 versus 1 here. 2, Donovan and I did not like it, and Natalie says she did. So that's a great perspective, though, because I'm curious what was working for Natalie. So now I enjoyed watching it during the whole process, and then when it was over, that's when I said, oh my.
I found Joe Wright's direction exhausting.
Yeah, me too.
Like that was there were so many like, okay, we get it, Joe. You have seen a Hitchcock movie and a De Palma movie.
And David Fincher.
And a David Fincher. And it's kind of like, have you ever seen his Pride and Prejudice?
I have not.
So it's fine, but it's one of, I've seen it two or three times probably, but it's the same thing where it's like he directs with a capital D. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the story doesn't always need that. And I just feel like, I feel tired remembering watching this movie and watching, and he's not always horrible like that. But my God, like it's like, calm down, man. We'll like you anyway. You know, it's like your friend who comes into the room and is just trying way too hard. It's like, we like you, chill out.
I agree with that. Well, I think a good example is the two or three times he would drop Snowfall into a scene cut.
Yeah.
Am I right? Is that like what you had in mind?
Exactly. And even just like the way, like what he's doing with her in the apartment and whatever, you know, and like, I don't know, I guess it's supposed to be like reflective of her mental state or whatever, but it's like, you have good actors here. Mm-hmm. Like, let them act. Like, I don't need, like, trust them. Hmm. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm with you that the actors, there's not a one of these actors that that couldn't carry a movie on their own and are just fantastic, and probably a lot of them are award-winning actors. I haven't done the 100% research on these.
Just between Amy Adams and Gary Oldman and Julianne Moore, like that should be a slam dunk.
How much does this movie owe to Rear Window? And yes, I'm aware that this movie's adopted from a totally different novel, but...
Better question. How much does this movie owe to the Simpson episode about Rear Window, Bart of Darkness?
That's a good question. But my breakdown reads like this. First 30 minutes was fine, if not a little bland. Next hour was fair. The last 35 minutes were shit. Now, that's mostly in terms of writing, though I do find a lot of fault in directing. Like Donovan was talking about, I thoroughly agree with Donovan, including the cinematography, which I think the cinematographer's job is a very different job, but that he or she works with the director, obviously. Mm-hmm. They do what the director wants. The cinematographer does. And as for the acting, you can't beat this cast. They're not letting anyone down, but an actor can only lift certain material so high. And I think that's what I found here.
I tell you what, like this, like if you look at what's going into this movie, it should be a slam dunk, because like the director, okay, I don't love all of his movies, but like he's done a good job.
So what else has he done, by the way?
Joe Wright?
Yeah, to remind me.
Atonement, Pride and Prejudice.
That was right. That's right.
I could have told you another one a second ago. He did Darkest Hour last year-ish.
That's right.
Gary Oldman got the Oscar. He did a version of Anna. Karenina.
Gotcha. Yeah, I remember seeing his name in it being attached to decent movies when we thought about doing this movie. In fact, that was the cast and Joe Wright's name being recognizable, I thought.
Well, and the...
This will be good.
Dagum, the cinematographer, was the guy who shot... who worked with the Coens on Inside Llewyn Davis, which I think is just one of their absolutely best shot films. But...
Well, there you go. Oh, man. It really does fall back on the director.
Yeah, man. There's only so much you can do.
I'll let you guys comment on this. I think one of Joe Wright's faults here was that we never got to see the breadth of that brownstone. I feel like that was a missed opportunity. We only saw three rooms, right?
Was that like, we're supposed to identify very strongly with her, right? Where it's like, I don't know, man. I just keep... The word that keeps ringing through my head is overheated.
Yeah, overcooked. That's overcooked. I thought that a few times.
Because, like, there's parts where it's like, this could really work. Mm-hmm. But, like, mm-hmm. I just felt like my nose was being rubbed into. Yeah, what the heck was her what's going on with her living situation? I don't know.
Yeah. There's no way that this bears a lot of resemblance to the book, because surely on the page one would be able to pick out its glaring flaws, which leads me and Donovan to say that this is one of those goddamn modern book stories where the rights have been purchased to make it into a movie before the book's even published, and those are always fishy to me. Always.
When you said that, we were kind of talking in earlier. It made me think, like, that's why all the things don't click, because it's such a product, right? And like whenever you have something that's like just designed to be a product, like sometimes they work great, right? Like I'll say Marvel movies are an example of like a good product, but you really have to know what you're doing.
Right.
And when it's like, we're just making a product and like, we're doing the math, we're doing the equation here and this plus this equals it was the kid all along. like it falls flat and you're kind of like you've got good actors doing good performances and you're like, you're sitting there watching them and thinking like, but why are you putting all this effort into this? Like, it's not, there's nothing here. You know, Emperor has no clothes.
Uh-huh. That's a good one. It's a good way of saying it. Donovan mentioned off mic that it's almost as if the author, and I suspect the book did this because we're going to talk a little bit about that, that the author just had a checklist and decided, well, in order to have a psychological thriller, I need to do this on page 50. Check. I need to do this on page 100. Check. I bet the book is like that now that I kind of figure out some things, which is, this author is shady. The book that this is based on, and I know we're talking about the movie, we haven't read the book, but the book that this is based on is shady. I think that the author lied about his mom dying of cancer or having cancer, which is, that's one of the few things that he did wrong, right? You know more. There was a New Yorker.
There's a new, this guy, I guess he's kind of like a serial, like he's involved in publishing. He's sort of a serial fabulist. And was it Alex Ross wrote the piece? I don't remember, but there's a New Yorker piece from a year or so ago. You can find it online about the man behind A.J. Finn, the pseudonym of the writer. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. And it's if you like a good grift, it's pretty interesting reading.
Mm-hmm. And which the grift of how this book came to be might be more interesting than the book itself.
It's more interesting than the book, I think.
Mm-hmm. Did you all like how Amy Adams' character suddenly is healed of her agoraphobia because she killed a startup serial killer?
She just needed a little push.
Did you know that heals agoraphobia if you go and kill a startup serial killer?
Before they can really get going.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
I think that was one of the worst parts, and I'm going to really dig in and specify the worst part for me.
Okay.
Is where the kid comes to kill her, and he says, "I haven't figured out my pattern yet."
Has that kid been in things? Because it's like he was really.
Oh, I know why you recognize
given
him.
Given his all.
I know why you recognize him. He's teenage Seth Rogen minus the laugh. I thought it was Seth Rogen's kid.
That's funny. That's funny. He hasn't. You know, he just hasn't figured out his pattern yet.
Was it a shame that they didn't put Falcon and New Cap in a scene together?
I mean, I felt bad for Bucky.
Where was Bucky?
Where was Bucky?
Wyatt Russell is going to be one of our top tier actors, isn't he?
He's got big doofy energy, doesn't he? Like, even as Captain America, like, he's just kind of like, I'm a doofy guy.
But I mean, when he got to that moment where he came in from the rain and he's soaking wet and he gives her some scary eyes, he could do that.
He got a little rapey, didn't he?
He got a little scary.
He's been everywhere this year.
I do like him.
I can't get away from him. Yeah, I mean, it's great, but I don't buy him as a scary guy because he's just a doofus.
It's great.
See, I did. Well, to be fair, you and Adam have been catching up on Lodge 49.
That's true. He's just dead from Lodge 49 forever.
You know, I do. I mean, I think he's good, but it is kind of like, it's like he just seems like a doofus. I don't know. He probably is not. He's probably a horrible person in real life.
That's really funny guys took away that he is going to be one of our next greats in a few years.
No. Yeah, I think he'll be in a lot of things. I don't know that he'll ever be great. And God, I not that he'll ever hear me say that, but I do wish him well, but he's not going to be great. He's going to be really good and really fun.
I just hope he gives, like, I hope he gets in a lot of stuff and he gives a lot of interviews because, like, I want to know the details of growing up.
Yeah.
Like, Kurt Russell's your dad? That's got to be weird. Let's go.
He really does look like his dad in some scenes, too.
Do you think he gets a Fabletics deal?
Explain that to me. I don't know that I got that joke.
Fabletics? That's like his sister, Kate Hudson. Kate Hudson's his sister, and she like owns this like athletic leisure wear company called Fabletics.
There's the connection.
Yeah.
I did not know like, that.
Do you think that's where they got all his spandex for his Captain America suit?
Can we, since we brought it up, can we circle back to how terrible the Wakandans treated Anthony Mackie?
So bad.
Oh my God. Why do they hate him?
I guess.
Never.
So Natalie, I guess you, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you thought it was an enjoyable movie to watch, but not great, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And Donovan, you thought what?
I feel tired thinking about it.
Yeah, me too.
Like, just because it was...
You guys are too smart, too highbrow.
Enjoyable, but not great is like... So, my wife watched Speed last night, and like, that is a like, this is enjoyable. Like, is it great? Is it smart? No. Is it great? Yes. That movie is just pure pleasure. And but because you don't feel exhausted when you're thinking about it. And this one, it's like, it was trying to...
Yeah.
It's trying way too damn hard.
My come down on this Woman in the Window is it's pretty good. It's fine as far as just sitting and watching until the last 25 minutes. And then that exhaustion kicked in for me. And
when they revealed that the woman in the window was the friends you made along the way.
Yeah.
What a cliche. Trite point.
I kept waiting for Detective Brian Tyree Henry to say, "You're the woman in the window." I wanted that. Okay. All right, guys. That is the end of this week's show. We're very tepid on The Woman in the Window, even those of us who liked it, I think. Join us next week, though, where we don't know what we'll be talking about yet, but we'll post it online if we find out. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and subscribe to the show, rate, review us. Until then, we'll talk to you next Tuesday.